This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya sahibai sijin, O my two companions of the prison. Amma ahadukuma, as for one of the two of you, fayasqi rabbahu khamra, he will be pouring wine unto his Lord, meaning unto his king, because he was the cupbearer of the king. But notice Nabi Yusuf doesn't say that the cupbearer will be pouring wine for the king. He just says one of the two of you. Why? You'll find out in a moment. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ As for the other one, فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ As for the other one, he will be crucified and birds will thus be eating from his head. So obviously, the second interpretation is much more severe than the first. One of them is going to be released and he's going to be pouring wine for the king. The other one is going to be crucified and birds are going to be eating from his head. So he doesn't say to him, you are going to be freed and you will be crucified, because that's of course difficult news to bear. Then he continues and says, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ The matter that you are seeking to be interpreted has now been decreed. In other words, it's done and dusted. There's no escape from the outcome. There are a hadith, one of which in particular is narrated by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that the Prophet ﷺ said that a dream is tied to the leg of a bird until it is interpreted and then it becomes reality. It's metaphoric speech, but what it basically means is that the dream could remain a dream, but if it is interpreted, authentically interpreted, like valid interpretation, then there's no escaping it, it will transpire. Nonetheless, they are then given the interpretations. This is of course after they were given da'wah by Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So he didn't answer the question immediately. He knew that there was something far more important. Even though this news is quite, you know, impactful on their lives, he felt that it was first and foremost a priority for them to learn about the one true God, about his prophets, about the afterlife, about the dangers of kufr, and about the eternal life of Jannah and Jahannam. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam then continues. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا He says to the one who, he is pretty sure that that is the one who will be saved from the two of them. اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ Remember me by your master. Now remember, now the master is the king, the new authority. He used to live in the house of the minister, the Aziz. Now he's speaking to a servant of the king and he feels that this servant is the one who's going to be back into the service of the king. Remember me by your master. And then, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ Then shaitan caused him to forget to mention his Rabb, his master. Now there's two interpretations of this, both of which makes perfect sense. The one is that the person who was released then forgot to mention to his master about this man in the prison who says, you know, that he's able to interpret dreams and so on and so forth. That's the one interpretation. Many mufassirun inclined towards that one. The other one is also very plausible, is that Nabi Yusuf ﷺ himself forgot to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, to say insha'Allah when he spoke to this particular person. And this is the plot of shaitan. Shaitan causes you to forget certain things like this, as we saw happening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the revelation of Surah Al-Kahf, which we dealt with last year Ramadan. Right? So Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also forgot to say insha'Allah, and then the revelation was postponed for a while. So this could also be a similar type of scenario, although the mufassirun inclined to the first one. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضَعَ سِنِينَ And as a consequence of either of the two, Nabi Yusuf a.s. remained in prison بِضَعَ سِنِينَ for some years. Now this word بِضَعَ is interpreted as between 3 and 9 years. That's a few years. When the Quran uses this term, it means between 3 and 9 years, and the exegetes explain that it's 7 years. Right? Specific to Nabi Yusuf, it's 7 years. Now, to remain in prison for 7 years is quite a long time. We don't know how much time before this has transpired as well. So Nabi Yusuf is going through quite a journey, really being put through the test. And we relate this back to when we look at the Prophet's trials that he was going through, when this surah was being revealed to him, so that he could find consolement therein. You know, I might have been kicked out of Makkah for 3 years. Nabi Yusuf stayed in prison for 7 years, Right? And on top of it, got thrown into a well, etc. So again, we find that element of looking at the problems that Allah Ta'ala tests other people with so that we can be more appreciative of the favors that He favors us with. Now we move on to the palace. What country are we busy with here? Still Egypt. Now there's an interesting fact here. Listen to what Allah says. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ The king now speaks. Allah is quoting the king. But the interesting point is not what the king is about to say, we'll get to that. It is the fact that he's being referred to in the Quran as a king. What do the leaders of Egypt, what do we know historically, what are the leaders of Egypt called? Pharaoh. Now, throughout the Old Testament and even the New Testament, any reference to the leaders of Egypt in those times is Pharaoh. The Quran comes along, uses Fir'aun for the time of Nabi Yusuf, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, but now in the period of Nabi Yusuf, all of a sudden, the leader of Egypt is called a king. And in recent times, when I say recent times, I mean in the past 100 or so years, historians have actually discovered that before the Pharaonic age, before the time of the pharaohs, there was a period in which Egypt had kings. But nowhere in other scripture is this mentioned. The Quran just uses it, so by the way. No emphasis on it, no elaboration, but this is how accurate the information was. And yet we still find that some people are under the impression that the Prophet ﷺ copied his information from the people of the book before him. There's two problems with that. Number one, the stories are not the same. They are very different. They are critically different in certain areas. And number two, he seemed to have not copied any of the inconsistencies and only copied that which is 100% accurate. And that, of course, is again one of the miracles of the Quran. Just to let our hearts once again feel that flame of the love of the Quran, that this is purely the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now for the king's dream. This is now the fourth dream we've come across in the story. The first one was that of Nabi Yusuf. The second one was that of the prisoner, the one prisoner. Then we had the other prisoner. Now we have the king. This is, of course, one of the main dreams as well. He says, "Inni ara sab'a baqaratin simanin." I have seen in my dream seven fat cows. Ya'kuluhunna sab'un ijaf. And they were being consumed by seven lean cows. Wa sab'a sumbulatin khudrin wa ukhra yabisat. And I've also seen seven green stalks of corn. And I saw others, meaning another seven, dry stalks of corn. Ya ayyuha al-mala, O my advisors, right, the advisors of the king. O my advisors, he says, aftuni fi ru'yai, give me a fatwa with regards to my dream. In other words, give me a ruling with regards to what this dream means. In kuntum lirru'ya ta'burun, if you truly claim to be able to interpret dreams. And of course we know at that time there was a lot of mysticism, you know, people claiming that they had powers and magic and so on. And they then respond, qalu adghathu ahlam. Their response was, this is mixed up dreams. Don't bother with this. This dream has no meaning, right? We said right at the beginning, dreams are of three kinds. You have the nightmares, that's from shaitan. Don't relate that to anyone. There's sunnahs with regards to what do you do if you have a nightmare. Number two, adghathu ahlam, mixed up dreams. Dreams about things that you've seen and then it's just all jumbled up because it gets played around in the mind. You can ignore that. It doesn't really have any meaning. And then number three, ru'ya saliha, righteous, pious dreams that truly has a meaning. So they claim that this is adghathu ahlam. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ And we don't have knowledge of how to interpret mixed up dreams, they say. Now the cupbearer, who was released from prison, spent time in the cell with Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he's of course overhearing this conversation. And it's going to click in his mind that, wait, interpretation of dreams? I can connect you with somebody. I've got a connection, right? I've got a connection. So he says, قَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا The one who was saved from the two of them, وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةً Allah says, and he remembers after an ummah. So after a whole long period has gone by, now he all of a sudden remembers. He says, "Ana unabbi'ukum bita'wilihi." I will tell you its interpretation. Fa'arsilun, send me. In other words, I need to go somewhere. I'll sort it out for you. I'll organize. Now he comes to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. 7 years later, imagine you told somebody, "Listen, sort me out." They come back 7 years later. When they need a favor. So he comes back and he says, Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. says, Yusuf, my friend. Literally, these are the words he uses. My dear friend. Aftina fi sab'i baqaratin. He now narrates the dream. Please give us a fatwa, an interpretation of the seven fat cows. Ya'kuluhunna sab'un ijaf, being consumed by seven lean cows. Wa sab'i sumbulatin khudrin, seven green stalks of corn. Wa ukhara yabisatin, and seven dry. La'alli arji'u ila an-nas, so that I may go back to the people. La'allahum ya'lamun, so that they may know. Because he now knows Nabi Yusuf is going to give him a good interpretation. So what does Nabi Yusuf say? You'll find out tomorrow night, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.